This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As the name Nisa suggests, the surah was revealed to that segment of the community which was highly neglected during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The women. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He highlights certain rights of theirs and how to deal with them within the surah. And this surah, I believe, should be studied by every single person who has any relationship with any lady. Whether it be a relationship of a brother-sister, whether it be the relationship of a son and a mother, whether it be the relationship of a husband and wife, this surah holds many key principles inside them on how to deal with the women folk. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the surah, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that deal and live with your women in the most appropriate manner. This is one verse of the Qur'an that most men forget to even realize was ever revealed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that deal with your men, deal with your women, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ, the men should deal with their women, بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, in the most appropriate manner. And this is something we saw in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew how to deal with his wife, and he knew how to deal with his daughters. He knew how to deal with the women of the community. You won't ever find anywhere that any of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised a hand against us. You know, we all are quick to quote the verse of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that fa'idhuhunna wahjuruhunna fil madaji'i wadribuhunna, that advise them and then separate with them in beds and then strike them. We're very quick to quote this ayah. But don't we all know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the tafsir of the Qur'an? Don't we know that his life was a clear commentary of the Qur'an? And how the Qur'an kept that as the last measure, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, having 10 wives, never had to resort to that last measure. That's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had 10 wives, but never did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever resort to that measure in all of his wives. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for some of us who may say, oh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam may have been young, maybe he had control over his emotions. He definitely had control over his emotions. But this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from 25 until 63, and none of his wives ever had any complaint against him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, they loved him so much that none of them ever got married again. And Aisha radiallahu anha was only 19 years old. And out of the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, none of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever got married again. Because they knew there was no one that could ever fill in the place of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, to show you how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with his wives. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Aisha radiallahu anha, that I know when you're happy with me and I know when you're angry with me. And she says, how do you know? You know, any wife in the room, if the husband was to say, I know when you're happy with me, I know when you're angry with me, every wife in the world can say, I know when you're happy, I know that too. Because when you're angry with me, or when I'm angry with you, you're shouting at me. And when I'm happy with you and you're happy with me, we're hugging and kissing each other. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she didn't realize what the difference was between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what she was happy with him and what she was angry with him. You guys understand the point that I'm making here? Right? That's why she asked, how do you know? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reacted to her, whether she was happy or angry, in the very same way. His temperament didn't change. So now she's thinking that I've never seen your temperament change when I'm angry with you or when I'm sad with you. So how do you know that when I'm angry and sad? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you're happy with me, then you say, I swear by the Lord of Muhammad. And then when you're angry with me, you say, I swear by the Lord of Ibrahim. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that's how I know that when you're angry with me and when you're sad with me. But from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam side, there was no change. It was the exact same thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew how to deal with things. One of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends food to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he's at another wife's house. And that wife, when she sees the food come to her house, she picks up the bowl and she smashes it on the ground. She says, how dare you send food on my day? Do you think I can't cook? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does he do? Does he get mad at her, get her in a choke lock, wadribuhunna, start beating her? Like we always like referring to that ayah, right? Is that what he does? No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to her, okay. He then calls the man who brought the food, wait here. He cleans up the food, whatever remains are left, he says, take this back and buy another bowl on the way back home. This is what you call a husband. This is what you call a man. You want to follow his sunnah in the masjid? Great, let's do that. We want to follow his sunnah in our beards and in our gowns and in our caps. Let's do that. But not forget to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ with his wives. How the Prophet ﷺ was raising Aisha radiallahu anha. And how the Prophet ﷺ, sometimes you know how our wives say, take me somewhere. She says, take me to the planetarium. And you think, the planetarium is the most boring thing on the face of this earth. You know, why do you want me to go there? Let's go to Six Flags or something. You know, that's what guys think, right? And she says, you know what, let's go to the mall. And you think, I don't want to go to the mall. Sometimes your wives tell you to go to places where you don't want to go. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Yeah, many times, right? I can testify to this, definitely. Right? When a wife is saying, let's go do something, and you don't want to do it. But the question is, what would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done if his wife requested him to do something and he didn't want to do it? And that thing was jaiz. If it was haram, then obviously, hands off, it's haram. Okay? But if that thing was permissible, and the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted something, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't want that, what would happen? The hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. But the Prophet, the Aisha radiallahu anha says that it was the day of Eid, and the Abyssinian men were playing a sport. And the Aisha radiallahu anha said, O Messenger of Allah, I wish to see them play. And she herself says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he want to watch the play or not? He didn't want to watch it. He had no interest in it. She herself says that in the hadith. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no interest in that sport at all. But he said to Aisha, if you wish to watch it, let's go. And he stood by the door, outside the curtain, and Aisha radiallahu anha says, I stood on my tiptoes, and I put my chin on the shoulder of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to watch the game. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, Aisha, are you done watching the game? And she said, O Messenger of Allah, let me watch it for a little longer. Right? And she says that more than the game, I was enjoying my chin on the shoulder of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So you see how this happened here? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, I don't want to do it, so we're not going to do it. We're going to eat popcorn and go to sleep. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he catered to his wives. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Right? He took care of his wives. And that's why the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were happy with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, however he was. They knew he was patient with them, so they were also patient with him. How were they patient with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't give them millions of dollars of expense every week. He didn't give them thousands of dollars. Aisha radiallahu anha herself says that within 2 months, sometimes we would turn on the stove even once. Right? We were eating, you know how we were eating so much food and we're all complaining because of 18-hour fast and 19-hour fast and all this other junk. Actually, how much are we fasting for today? How many hours? 16, 17 hours? My friend in England were telling me that their iftar is at 9:30 p.m. What time? You know what time their suhoor is? 1:30 a.m. What time? This is this year, right now. The entire England is doing this. Okay? Their iftar is at what time? 9:30. And what time is their suhoor? 1:30 a.m. is their suhoor. And people in America have the mouth to complain. Right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wives, they were eating dates in water for 2 months. And it wasn't because, you know, they were just, you know, that they had so much food at their disposal, but they chose. But that's how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam trained his family. That's how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam trained his wives. And they had a very good communication. Right? The relationship. And Allah azza wa jalla, he mentions in the Quran, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and live with them in the most appropriate manner. Be patient with your wives. And the wives, the same thing with their husbands. Be patient with one another. Be calm with one another. Learn how to overgo one another's shortcomings and one another's faults. Learn how to overgo them. You can't be a boss to your wife. You can't be a boss to your husband. In this relationship, you have to kind of compliment one another. Right? You have to compliment one another. This is the beauty of the relationship of marriage. And this is for the adults sitting here. I know the kids are probably getting bored of this lecture. You have no idea what's happening. But it's okay. You guys can listen to it. Right? I'll give you guys an example. One of the things that husband and wives make the biggest mistake in is when you have to correct your spouse. This is a big problem usually. You know, for example, your spouse does something wrong and you have to correct them. How do you correct them? Hajiani! You scream that out. Oh, kareona! You know. And they start swearing at each other. Small mistake, and they start swearing and shouting at each other. My teacher used to say that if you want to correct your spouse, there are three principles you must follow, otherwise it is not even permissible for you to correct your spouse. What did he say? He says that there are three principles you must follow when you want to correct your wife if she makes a mistake, otherwise it's not even permissible for you to correct her. And what are the three principles? And not only with husband and wife, this is with anyone. Father and child, teacher and student, imam with muqtadi. If you ever want to correct anyone, there are three principles of amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar which you must follow, otherwise it's not even jais to correct the person. Number one, you never correct someone when you're angry. We only correct people because we're angry. Number two, you never correct people in front of others. You correct them secretly. And the third thing, never say you, always say we. So rather than saying, you read salah wrong, say that we should correct our salah. Because when you say you to someone, you're putting them at, you're making them feel bad. Do you not know the story of Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma? They went to this old man who wasn't doing wudu properly. Rather than saying, you're doing wudu wrong, they said, watch us do wudu and correct us in our mistakes. And then this old man, when he saw them doing wudu, he started crying and he said, I know what you're doing, you're teaching me wudu. I was the one that was doing wudu wrong, you're not making any mistakes. Learn how to correct people. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And then in that very same verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ. If there's something you dislike about your wife, if there's something you dislike about her, then remember, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. That sometimes you may dislike something, but Allah will put good inside there. Right? Sometimes you may dislike something about your wife, but ultimately, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put abundant good inside that thing that you dislike. So remember to be kind to your wives. Remember to be kind to your mothers. Remember to be kind to your sisters. Because these people in the community are those who may have a lower hand in power, who may not have the finances in their pockets. As men, you may have the power, you may have the finances, but that doesn't mean you ignore them, rather it means you take care of them. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repeatedly telling us in Surah An-Nisa, again and again, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. And then the verses continue where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches this principle to us, again and again.
زوجتي أنت حبيبتي أنت أحبك مثلما أنت.